cambers are fantastic. We've made it wider, so the club's got an extra rail move, and I'm looking forward to having racing on it.
Yeah, June 19 is that first meeting. Thanks a lot, Dave.
No worries, Andrew.
Dave Hodgson there from Racing New South Wales. That's about it for Racing HQ. Back tomorrow morning with much more. Of course, being a Wednesday, we'll have our 9:30 Sydney preview. As I leave you, Rob Smerton has just texted me. Shabard, who won the South Australian Fillies Classic at Morfordville on Saturday, is definitely going to Queensland to run in the Oaks. At this stage, they're hoping for two, maybe three. Shabard, Dulverton and Safiki are the three that Rob Smerton would like to get into the Oaks. We'll wait and see what happens. After the break, it is Tab Talk. Plenty of NRL, plenty of racing. At 10:30, it's On the Pace. And at 11, all the information for today's racing on the Early Mail.
Sydney Spring Carnival is back this September at Royal Randwick and Rosehill Gardens. Indulge yourself this spring with a premium hospitality package offering first-class dining in luxurious surrounds. Plus, witness exhilarating racing with superior views of the home straight. Experience the carnival in style and be a part of the electrifying atmosphere as Sydney comes to life. Book your hospitality package today at theatc.com.au. At Bing Lee, buy any Bosch washing machine and receive a bonus year supply of Colt Power washing powder. A fantastic bonus from Bosch and Bing Lee. Conditions apply. See binglee.com.au or in-store for details.
Whether you're building or renovating, before you decide on your choice of windows or doors, take a closer look
at Wideline's brand new website, where you'll find our U-Beaut online quoting app.
Just upload your plans or tell us what you require and receive your free quote within 48 hours.
Even if it's only a few windows you need, we're here to help, no problems.
Wideline's quoting app is open 24 hours. You can even save your new quotes or edit old ones.
Time to take a closer look at WidelineWindowsAndDoors.com.au.
The man is having an early end of financial year stock clearance. So if you're in the market for a new Mazda, Penrith Mazda has the best selection and prices on all new Mazdas, including VT50s. Come and see the Mazda specialist for a great end of financial year deal. Don't miss out on Penrith Mazda's end of financial year clearance sale. Now on Penrith Mazda, Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
ND18808.
They're off. Gates open. They're off and racing.
On your racing and sports leader, Sky Sports Radio, it's time for Tab Talk.
One of the legends of the sport creates a little bit of magic at the mountain.
There it is. Adam Scott. A life changer.
It's the first time he's finished about a GP for the pilot. Mark Marquez. Another in style down under.
With the very latest in racing and sport from around the country, welcome to Tab Talk.
And good morning, everyone. Sean Cosgrove with you and at tab.com.au. Andrew Giorgio joins us as well. Morning, Andrew.
Yeah, good morning, Sean. How are you?
Fighting fit, thank you. We're going to have Matty Russell join us in a moment from Fox Sports as well. It's another fascinating week in the footy, and Melbourne Storm are just sort of just creeping along, aren't they, nicely?
They've really impressed me, Cozzy, the last few weeks. Of course, they beat the Cowboys in that one-point thriller at Suncorp a fortnight ago.
Yep.
And then they came out and really, they always seemed in control last night against Parramatta, didn't they?
They did. And, I mean, a while ago, going back early in the season, we sort of looked and thought, well, how are they going to go? But then they really have just, I don't know whether it's turned the corner or maintained consistency. What do you think?
Well, I think, Cozzy, it's important to note that you know, the loss of Billy Slater, you know, would have really thrown them out of whack early on in the season. But Cameron Munster really seems to have stepped up, and Craig Bellamy and the rest of the crew down there have done a remarkable job in playing, you know, really without Billy. And it really doesn't look like Billy's going to be back anytime soon. Mm. And if this is the team that they're going to go forward with for the rest of the season, they are in for one hell of a push come grand final time.
Well, let's find out. Fox Sports, Matty Russell joins us. Morning, Matt. How are you?
Cozzy, Andrew, very well, thank you. And yes, it's a great ladder if you're a fan of the Melbourne Storm or the Cronulla Sharks, because there they are at the top of the table, the Sharks just ahead on for and against. But I like what you just had to say about the Melbourne Storm. You are spot on. I don't know whether Billy Slater will get back for the Melbourne Storm. He is on the record as saying that if his shoulder's not right, he'll think about his health long term, and he may well have played his last game. If he wants to get back, good luck to him. But there's no guarantee, and in the absence of Billy, Cameron Munster doing some good things. And what about Suliasi Vunuvalu, this Fijian winger? He has played five games this season, scored eight tries, four of them double. So they might be losing Marika Korobeti to rugby union, but Vunuvalu emerges at just the right time.
Do you think it's just literally been that little bit of a breaking in or settling in period with the absence of Slater that Munster's now just settled right into the role, the confidence is up the whole lot for them?
Cozzy, I think that he's been ready for that role for a while now. He filled in admirably in the back end of last season, and there was talk about what are they going to do with Cameron Munster when Billy comes back. So he was tailor-made, ready to go. You never like seeing a champion get injured, but from a Melbourne perspective, they had an easy solution to that potentially very big problem. But rather than talking about the attack and the try-scoring ability, really it's Melbourne Storm's defence keeping Parramatta to just 6 points last night. They're the best defensive team in the league. And I know it's a cliche, but from defence comes your attack. And as a result, the Melbourne Storm, they're going to take some stopping again in 2016. After last night's result, Andrew, well, what's happening in the premiership betting? Because the Melbourne Storm, I imagine, in the eyes of some, could be flying under the radar.
Yeah, well, Matty, we've still got them at $8 to win the premiership. They're on the fourth line of betting behind the Broncos, who are $3.50, the Cowboys at $4.25, and Cronulla, who are at $5. Now, the Storm were $9 prior to that win, so the boys just trimmed them up slightly after yesterday's win. Matt, I'm interested to get your thoughts on last night's match, because it seems as though the Storm, while it wasn't a blowout result, they always seemed to have the result in their keeping. And Parramatta, like you say, threw plenty at them, but just couldn't break them up until the last few minutes.
Yeah, and it means that Parramatta now need to win 12 of their last 13 games to make the finals. But here's an interesting point that I want you to consider. When Todd Greenberg handed down the initial penalty that has yet to be signed off on, he said that, "I want to give them hope. I thought that the Melbourne Storm's punishment all those years ago was soul-destroying." Well, all of a sudden, it looks like the Eels are no hope. So when the final punishment comes down, which has already been flagged as being flexible from that original 12 premiership points, does Todd Greenberg still want to give the Eels hope and not destroy their soul? Because if that's the case, it might be less than 12 points. Maybe it'll be trimmed back to 10 or 8. Otherwise, why would you say, "I don't want to be soul-destroying, I don't want to remove all hope," if just a couple of weeks down the track, when you come up with a final punishment, it is actually going to be exactly that?
Do you think they're sort of resigned to the fact that they will lose those 12 points, though?
Yeah, I think they are. They'd be lucky, to be honest, in the eyes of many, to only lose 12 premiership points. I was one advocating a stronger punishment, not because I have anything against Parramatta or the players out there who are toiling hard. I just would find it hard to cop if they did make a run into the finals, having built this team illegally, even though they have since trimmed some excess fat, if you like, that they could then potentially be knocking other teams out of the finals with a side that was built illegally. That's my stance. I respect what Todd Greenberg was trying to do. I think he handled it magnificently. I'm just very keen to see his next move from a Parramatta perspective.
Matty, what do you reckon the final wrap will be? When it all comes down, what do you think it will be, the total carnage or damage to them?
I think the damage will ruin their season. I think they'll be given no hope of making the finals because the penalty will be too significant. And I think that the anger, the blowtorch, will be turned to the executive at Parramatta. The blowtorch will really be turned up on them, because at this stage there has been nothing but fight from them. There has been nothing but saying, "We've done nothing wrong," when really there's some damning evidence, allegedly, that the NRL is pouring over and will be further exposed as we tick along.
Now, I think it was Split Enz who sang the song "History Repeats," wasn't it? North Queensland, Cowboys and the Brisbane Broncos, a point.
It's the first time since 1928 that a head-to-head matchup has been decided by a point in three consecutive matches. So there's a stat for you, isn't it? And
that's
how
a ripper.
Compelling is that Broncos-Cowboys at the moment? I said to some friends, I wish they could play every weekend. It is just so good. And the other night, I couldn't look away as Jonathan Thurston, his side down by 12 points. JT single-handedly dragged the Cowboys off the canvas. With ball in hand, he was magic, passing inside, outside, and his ball runners were going straight through a hole. They made it look easy against a very capable Brisbane defence, and that's because you had the ultimate conductor. It's like Jonathan Thurston is in charge of a Royal Harmonic Orchestra. He's that good with the wand in his hand. And then the way he copped the knock on his hip and was clearly struggling but demanded the ball, coolly slotted the field goal. I sat in my chair with my mouth aghast. I couldn't believe it. He is such a player, and I enjoyed it so much. Not because I'm a Cowboys fan, I just thought it was fantastic rugby league. And in game 250, it was so fitting that JT was such a star that night.
Matty, in the AFL at North Melbourne, Brent Boomer Harvey is 38 and playing like a teenager. Jonathan Thurston, I think, is 33. How much longer can he go?
He can go for another couple of years, I reckon, until 35. I think he signed until the end of 2018. There has been some talk about, you know, lightening the workload, but I think in rugby league, in the position that he plays with the frame he carries around the field, he's going to be a constant target. I reckon a couple more years might just about see him through. So my advice to rugby league fans, and indeed sports fans, is sit back and every time he plays, enjoy watching him on Fox Sports, of course.
Matt, if it's possible, the Sharks sort of haven't been the main topic of conversation for rugby league fans for a number of weeks now, but they find themselves equal first on the premiership ladder with the Storm. It's the first time they've been on top for, what, some 15 years, is that right?
Yeah, a great stat here as well, boys. The last time they led the competition was in 2000, and to be precise, it was 423 rounds ago. It's been 423 rounds since Cronulla sat on top of the premiership table, and as I was driving home last night, no word of a lie, there was a four-wheel drive in front of me, the number plate, 67, up, up, obviously in reference to Cronulla, and really, I thought, well, there's an omen, they might go on and do something special this year. The porch light is still on, but just maybe this is the year, because they have some experience and good experience, don't they, in key positions. But then they've got Jack Bird, Valentine Holmes, Josiah Fecky. I could go on and on and on. It's just such a well-balanced side, and I reckon they're building towards something special in 2016. But I mentioned Jack Bird there, boys, and I've got a question for you. What the hell is he doing not being named for New South Wales? He's such a versatile utility player. Great stats in 2016. He's tough. I've got some great stories about his resilience as a young player. Why didn't Laurie Daly go for Jack Bird? Help me out.
Well, just on that, Matt, what did you think of the rest of the squad?
Look, I think it's good in terms of having change. There are lots of new faces. Moylan, Mansour, Adam Reynolds, his kicking game will be crucial. They want to attack Queensland. They don't want to stem the bleeding. They don't want to sit back and just try and minimise Queensland's impact. They want to attack Queensland, which I think is a great attitude. I'm a great believer in attack is the best form of defence, so Adam Reynolds will help with that. And you've got the young Tyson Frizzell there as an option if Dylan Walker isn't left on the bench. So I like the newcomers in there. I like the fact that James Maloney is in the halves. He's been there in 2013. He is a form player of the competition with the Sharks. So not too many criticisms about the lineup. I'm a great believer in name the Blues, and then in New South Wales we just have to learn to bat them, but I would like to see Jack Bird there. To be honest, I've got nothing against Dylan Walker. He's played for Australia. I think he's a very talented player and he'll have an Origin career down the track, but this year, right here, right now, there's no room for Dylan Walker. It should have been Jack Bird.
Are you surprised that Josh Morris wasn't put further up the pecking order for the Blues?
Yeah, I am, because he's an incumbent. He's been there for a long time, and I remember Laurie Daly saying to me that when they won the series a couple of years ago, it was the Morris boys who really, in his mind, lifted and delivered the Origin-type performance to deny Queensland. So Michael Jennings is also an incumbent and has to be there, given that he's been in reasonable form for Parramatta. The reason that Josh Morris is left out is because Josh Dugan, by naming Moylan, you've got to find somewhere for Dugan, so they put him in the centres and Josh Morris has missed out. I wouldn't have complained if they'd left Morris in the centres, put Dugan on a wing, and maybe given Blake Ferguson a bit more time to get ready for the Origin Arena again. He's played one game, but that's maybe the only shuffle I would have made there. Josh Morris, certainly hard done by. He's in the extended squad, but we understand he's not in the penciled-in 17.
What do you think of the Queensland lineup? I mean, they got the usual Smith, Thurston, Inglis, Cronk. They got some handy runs, haven't they?
It is such a good side on paper. Again, they announced their team officially tonight in Queensland. It's bigger than Ben Hur. They basically acknowledge and mention every single sponsor who's ever been involved with the Queensland Rugby League team. I think it's just an excuse to stay in the room and have a few more Forexes than the longer the night goes. But I love the fact that Corey Oates is there. Has there been a better winger this season than Corey Oates? He's big, he's strong, he's fast. As long as nerves don't get the better of him, he'll be great in the Origin Arena. And Justin O'Neill, he comes in for Justin Hodges, and I reckon O'Neill, well, I know that he was most improved player at North Queensland last season, and he's gone on with the job this year. So O'Neill, he's a good inclusion as well.
Matt, we've got the Blues as $1.85 favourites to take out Game 1. ahead of the Maroons at 195. What are your thoughts on that market?
I think that it's that market because it's in New South Wales, game one at Orange at ANZ Stadium. I think that that Queensland should be favourites because they won the last game 52-6, boys. You know, it's a big margin. It's a long comeback. However, I will say that your odds makers no doubt have studied history because in 2000, New South Wales put 50 points on Queensland in game three. The following year, in game one, the Maroons came back to win. So the only time previously that a team's given up 50 in game three, the opposition's bounced back in game one of the following series, and that's what New South Wales need to do this time around. But for me, I want to see New South Wales win. I'll be cheering for New South Wales, but I wouldn't be backing them very confidently.
All right, looking forward to it. Who are you going to predict?
Look, with two games in New South Wales, the Blues are a big chance, but I still think that Queensland, when you look at that side, it's going to take some beating. And at the risk of sounding like a broken record, I'd be a little bit more confident if Jack Bird was there.
Matt, just before we let you go, of course, it's a shortened round this week. Have you had a look at any of the games heading into round 12?
Yeah, I have. And look on Friday night, Broncos against West Tigers. Broncos missing six players. So you've got Milford and Hunt, who were given an origin ban for their naughty behaviour in a pre-season camp against Brooks and Moses off a win. So there's an intriguing battle, isn't it? The Queensland halves with a point to prove against Brooks and Moses who want to go on with the job. Then the Dragons against the Cowboys in Wollongong on Saturday. The Dragons are good in the gong and no JT for the Cowboys, no Michael Morgan, Matt Scott, Tamo. So the Dragons will have to fancy their chances. I'm really looking forward to seeing Canberra against Canterbury on Sunday. That's in the nation's capital. The Raiders off a win, so that'll be good. And then on Monday night, the Knights against the Eels. So a couple of battling clubs to finish us off. So even though it's Origin, I reckon it's an intriguing shortened round.
All right, mate. Good to catch up. We will talk to you next week, Matty.
All the best, gents. I've enjoyed it.
Thanks, Matt. Matt Russell joining us there from Fox Sports. Now, we've got our next to it at Addington coming up in a couple of minutes. Number one, Ginger Woody, $59. Two, Gold Star Rosie, $9. Number three, Cupcake, $240. $220, it's the favourite from the white. Four, Wrinkles, $8.50. Five, Crystal Flame, $32. Number six, Big John Cannon, $260. Sevenelab, $15. Eight, Skills Taylor, $21. And the reserves not required. So the favourite there, the three, Cupcake, at $240. And $2.20. Now the totes on the first there. The winner seven, Speedy Blue Blood, paid $11.30. At Addington rather on the first. The winner seven, Surging Ember, $7.10, $2.90. Six, Sid Valensky, $2.50. Four, Grace Ahsoka, $1.10. Fourth, nine, Ginger Snag. And numbers there, 7, 6, 4, and 9. We'll take a quick break. 18 past 10 at Sky Sports Radio.
CK here.
And Slabs.
We're doing what we do best.
We are the only breakfast show dedicated to sport.
Back in the NRL, people are lovely.
We chat to the biggest names in sports.
Mel Meninga there.
Holly Holm.
G'day Warnie.
Wally Lewis.
Michael Clark.
And we're number one because no one else is doing it.
The only time I usually get stuck into the pickles is after the game.
The Big Sports Breakfast. 5:30 weekday mornings on Sky Sports Radio and Sky Racing 1. Sydney's number one pure sports breakfast show.
Because there isn't another one.
Why are schools telling boys they can wear girls' uniforms? If a boy feels like he's a girl, should schools be telling him he can be a girl? Find out what controversial sex education programs are really teaching your kids at school. Go to kidsrights.org.au. Spoken by C. Elliott, authorised T. Kelleher, the Australian Family Association, Bourbon.
Winter is coming. There's no better way to shake off the winter blues than with a Christmas in July celebration at Rose Hill Gardens. Warm yourself up with a traditional festive lunch. Plus, watch all the racing action with spectacular views of the home straight. Christmas in July at Rose Hill Gardens. It's the perfect place to catch up with family and friends. Book your place today at theatc.com.au. That's theatc.com.au.
Bing Lee, buy any Bosch washing machine and receive a bonus year supply of Colt Power washing powder. A fantastic bonus from Bosch and Bing Lee. Conditions apply. See binglee.com.au or in-store for details.
Let's get back to Tab Talk on your sports leader, Sky Sports Radio.
20 past 10, we'll be heading straight across to Addington for the next hour in a moment. Now, a report on the jockeys yesterday at Taree, Andrew, that fall in the first there, which was just one of those freakish things in a round. Sammy Clinton, I got a message from Sammy this morning, said she's very, very sore, which is understandable. She's in a lot of pain, soft tissue damage to her back, and a fractured collarbone. However, fortunately, x-rays cleared her of any further injuries. Now, she's in Port Macquarie Hospital, scheduled to see Dr. Duckworth tomorrow to review her collarbone, hoping to be released later today. Jackson Murphy's father, Tony, reported Jacko had internal bleeding, which has now stopped. However, it did appear he split his spleen in half, has bruising on a lung, and he'll remain in John Hunter Hospital for 4 to 5 days. Kaylee Kirkwood was released from Port Macquarie Hospital last night after x-rays cleared her of serious injuries. Kaylee's been diagnosed with mild concussion and received stitches to the inside of her calf. Lisa Burrells sustained no serious injuries but remained in John Hunter Hospital and is expected to be released today. Taylor Marshall advised he is stiff and sore but rode track work this morning. Travis Wolfgram has reported he suffered a split lip when he was hit in the face by his mount, avoiding the fall, but is otherwise okay. And that was just one of those freakish things yesterday that happened to Tari in the first. Unfortunately, all got away okay. And it was interesting, Malcolm Johnson was talking to the guys. He commented to the steward, Drew Smith, just prior to the turn, how the kids were all riding fantastic. He said, just brilliant, look at them. And then all of a sudden, unfortunately, the horse, its leg popped and went down it went, and over they went. Shannon Perry will join us straight after this race at Addington. He actually, he and his dad trained the winner of that race.
Ginger Rango at Stud Dash. And the favourite is runner number 3, Cupcake. Looking for win number 3 at start 14 this afternoon. And we'll jump from box number 3. Loaded away. Nice one just being locked up over there at the start. And the orange has switched to green. The blue has switched on. Race 2, Addington. Favourite from 3, ready to go. And they're away. Cupcake jumped away fairly on the inside. Gold Star, Rosie Best out. Ginger Willie coming across out wide. Skills Taylor. Cupcake boots up. Now then came Big John Cannon. Getting around runners Eyelab from Crystal Flame and back to last as Wrinkles on the corner. And Gold Star, Rosie in front. Skills Taylor after it. Gold Star, Rosie beat Skills Taylor and Ginger Willie. Third half, fourth over Big John Cannon. Then came Cupcake, Crystal Flame. And the last two to cross, Wrinkles and Eyelab.
Now the second event there at Addington today, and the over the lines will be 2-8-1-2 Gold Star Rosie, 8-31-58 Skills Taylor, 3-80-1 Ginger Willie, 2-20-2-8-1 Sean Cosgrove and Andrew Georgio this morning. Shannon Perry joins this morning. Shannon,
good morning. How are you both and all your listeners?
Yeah, good, mate. You would have been horrified. I saw your reaction on Sky Thoroughbred Central there yesterday in the first Atari. You had the winner, but by gee, you know, you like winning a race, but you don't like to see that happen behind, do you?
No, certainly not. You know, like, sad enough when a horse hurts itself during a race, but when you're seeing human beings suffer for horse racing, it's terrible, you know. People get hurt at the stables a lot and in track work, but when everybody around the world's watching a race and it's happening in your own backyard kind of thing, it leaves a dirty taste in your mouth, like you feel sorry for them.
Yeah, exactly. We're very blessed that they've come out of it as lightly as they have, Shannon.
Well, exactly. It did, to the eye, look bad, didn't it? Like a bad domino effect. And fortunately for Rachel King, she was out doing her best in front and got the money.
Now, today, you've got some interesting runners. The first, the two-year-old, 1,600. You got Gainsbourg in. You gave him through. He's had about three trials and then a run over 1,350. 1,600 second up. That looks like on paper he just needs ground.
Yeah, exactly. And same as the pay. You know, there's not a strong lot of horses in there, so tempo and tactics, we'll see what happens.
So pay's drawn two, you put the blinkers and a lugging bit on. Will that go forward or not?
You'd think so with the two and barrier two and the 2 kilo claim. It's such a big horse. You enjoy a little apprentice on top of his back. So, yeah, you know, we'll just have a chat soon, Dad and myself, and Dad's at home doing his form right now, and, yeah, we'll go from there.
Righto, race two, and you've got Catalunya Girl, a first starter here, for, and you got the lugging bit on it as well.
Yeah. She was in a wine the other day and kicked out in the barriers and took some skin off inside of her hind leg, and it's critical that the vets must scratch when they do that. But she's healed up well, and the vet certificate cleared, and she goes around first start today.
Sequoia in the next, and this has had one. It's had a couple of runs and a trial. Just looking at its previous form, is it going to need the run today? Do you think it looks like it'll want a bit further?
Yeah, look, it comes to him quick. She's small and whatnot, but she's on the limit left two kilos, so she wants a little bit of luck and to go her way to run into some money. But if she can get that luck, she can run into some money.
Now, lucky show in race four. You've drawn barrier one on this, and it does tend to get back a bit.
Yeah, well, he's a beautiful-looking horse, but he's racing like he's a hurdler. So he needs to get a bit of spring to his step. And Rachel seems to have a great balance and ride on a long range, so maybe he'll enjoy the ride she gives him. And less than two kilos, he might run into some money.
Now, Rachel must have whispered into Montre Dame's ear the other day, too. In race five again on it today. Got the money over 2,100 at Wyong last start.
Yeah, look, outside of the Wyong Cup, they never go quick out of over 2,100 at Wyong. And they from the time they hit the ground running, they just flew. And it suited her. She had no weight with the claim. And she was back watching it all unfold and had one run, so it really suited her that race that day. So if they do go along hard again today, she will hold the form.
You've got the look in race six. It is first up. It's on a placing in the past first up, but it does tend to get back a bit.
Exactly right. And she's one that really needs speed on, and if that happens, she might need the run, but she'll certainly run her normal self. I just hope that she can. She's been a lovely mare to us. I hope she can do something.
Now, race seven, Shannon Salerno, the toppy, was a nice colt by Schnitzel, but it seems like he had romance rather than racing on his mind, and that situation's been changed.
Well, yeah, and there's some good owners in him that spend a lot each year in racing, so they don't mind gelding their horses when need be, and he drew well and he'll go forward. And, Gosford, it's usually of late been suiting forward runners, so he gets his chance.
And Quartermaster, top weight in the last year, was a terrific run the other day in the Gunnedah Cup.
Yeah. When he won, he formed 1-3. When he won, he was a while between runs. He kept getting balloted out. And then his third in the Gunnedah Cup was a tad unlucky, Tony Cavallo thought. He only wanted five more strides and he beats him. So, he likes Gosford, so he'll come here and be hard to beat.
Now, what would be the pick of yours today, Shannon?
I like Quartermaster. He's fit. He looks well and... Yeah, and just you've got all day to see if the back markers are making ground, but I like him.
You'll have a track worn to the jockey's room today. You get a runner in every race.
Yeah, I know. Loosen the belt.
You'll be able to claim three after the last.
Exactly right. Yeah.
Good on you, Shannon. Appreciate your help as always, and good luck today.
Good luck, hunters.
Thanks, mate. Shannon Perry joining us there, Quartermaster in the last but wait for. You've got a busy day ahead of him, Andrew.
Yeah, that's right. It's quite rare where you have a runner in every race on the card, isn't it?
It's right. And Quartermaster, the odds, have we ever looked at any of those? What stands out? Addington, by the way, 281 and 6, 2 Gold Star Rosie, 831, 58 Skills Taylor, 380, 1 Ginger Willie, pay 220 and 4th, 6 Big John Cannon there.
Yeah, well, the Quartermaster is at $7 in that last race. Cozzy on the third line of betting. Behind the odds on favourite in Francesco, who's 190, and Moroccan Ruby, who is at $6. But the Quartermaster is the best back runner to knock off the favourite in the early betting.
Now, we've just got news too. Justin Langer will be joining us tomorrow on Tab Talk. He's the new Australian cricket coach heading off to South Africa on Thursday. So we'll catch up with him tomorrow morning. Justin Langer, the Australian cricket coach, the new one, will join us tomorrow morning here on Tab Talk. We get them all, don't we?
Oh, how good is it, Cozzy? We just keep getting bigger and better all the time.
One day, Hoss might even come on.
I think he's going to have a hard time trying to get rid of you, though.
We'll be right. We'll backdoor him. Okay. Mate, good to catch up. We'll talk to you through the day.
Thanks, Cozzy.
Good on you, Andrew. Andrew Giorgio there, tab.com.au. That's Justin Langer. That's a good get. Australian cricket captain. Joining us tomorrow morning up to South Africa on Thursday. So we'll talk to him on Tab Talk, 10 o'clock tomorrow. 10:30, Sky Sports Radio.
Send Sky Sports Radio a message by email. Any person, any program, any matter. One email address will find us all. Go to skysportsradio.com.au, click feedback and follow the prompts. It's that easy.
Be part of the biggest weanling sale in the Southern Hemisphere in 2016. The Inglis Great Southern Weanling and Bloodstock Sale, June 19 to 22 at Oaklands Junction, Melbourne. For catalogues and information, visit inglis.com.au.
Sydney Spring Carnival is back this September at Royal Randwick and Rosehill Gardens. Indulge yourself this spring with a premium hospitality package offering first-class dining in luxurious surrounds. Plus, witness exhilarating racing with superior views of the home straight. Experience the carnival in style and be a part of the electrifying atmosphere as Sydney comes to life. Book your hospitality package today at theatc.com.au.
This Saturday night, we head trackside for the final of the Richmond Riches.
He races away and 30 talks bulge in.
Join Mark Duclos
and Luke Marlowe for full coverage of the $100,000 final this Saturday night
on Sky Sports Radio.
On your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio, it's time for On The Pace.
Getting on Sunset in front of Acacia Ridge. Sundawn's Gift going roughly. Sundawn's Gift broke up, but it's Galley on Sunset in front, and it'll do it all the way.
Here's Bowtide. Oh, the Tassie Terminator dashes to the lead. It's put paid to them in one fell swoop.
With all the latest harness racing happenings from around New South Wales and across Australasia, here's your host, Gareth Hall.
28 to 11, morning, Gareth. How are you, mate?
Good morning, Cozzy. I'm very well. Great get to get Justin Langer on the show tomorrow. You boys just continue to get the big names week in, week out, day in, day out.
And we're lucky we fluke a winner or two at good odds every now and then too, which is good.
Geez, I like listening to Shannon Perry.